Well, what a treat. Hey, so yeah, I get to preach. This is kind of fun. You know, you get to see the video from time to time, and now you get to see Rick. Maybe you get to, some of you are probably newer here, so you maybe don't know me that well, and so I'm going to share a few kind of personal stories with you. For those of you who know me, I'm a storyteller, and so I kind of like telling stories. And I love actually going to the Old Testament, because the Old Testament has some beautiful stories in it, and beautiful stories that I think we think are perfect for kids, but don't really have a whole lot of application to adults. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time in that. But we're going to talk a little bit about fathers today, which is appropriate because it is Father's Day. And so I want to pray as well and give this morning to the Lord. So pray with me. Lord, thank you for this day, and Lord, I pray specifically that this message be one that would reach exactly who it needs to reach today. Lord, I pray that they would not be my words that are coming out today, but would be your words, and that they would resonate on the hearts and minds of those that receive this message today. And Lord, it's you that needs to receive all the glory for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So what would a Father's Day be without maybe a quick Father's Day story? You know, maybe not specific on Father's Day, but a father's story. You know, my dad left us when I was 12 years old, so I don't have a tremendous amount of those type of stories, but I do have a quick story I'll tell you about my own life. And so we had just had a visit with some friends last week, and these were childhood friends that were about 3 or 4 years old when I last saw them, and now they're in their 18, 19, and 20-year-old range. And so what you're kind of taught as a young kid, at least I was, if an adult came to you and said, oh, I remember you when you were this old, even though you don't have any clue who they were, you would just acknowledge them. And you say, oh, yeah, no, I remember you, Mr. Holman. And so that's what these girls did. They said, oh, yes, no, thank you. It's been good to see you again, Mr. Holman. And I said, you know, girls, I'm going to let you off the hook. You don't even have a clue who I am, other than by my name. It was probably, you were 3 or 4, you're about this big. You don't remember a single thing about me, and I'm going to let you off the hook. And they said, oh, no, we do remember you, Mr. Holman. And then I started to get a little nervous at that point. And so they said, oh, no, we were on this trip together, remember that? And Hayden, he was about 3 or 4 at the time, he swallowed some gum, and he was really concerned about where the gum was going to end up. And so he came to you running, and you grabbed him by the ankles, and you held him up by the ankles, and you began shaking him. We do remember you, Mr. Holman. And I said, oh, what else do you remember about Mr. Holman? And so, anyways, I share that story mainly to tell you that there is no owner's manual for being a dad. You know, you come home from the hospital, or you're at the hospital, and they say, Forrest, here's your little baby Forrest, and good luck to you. And then we're just kind of left to kind of fend for ourselves. There's just no manual that we go back to and says, okay, if he does this, we do that. Sometimes it's just trial and error, hopefully more trials than error, because I could give you a load of stories about some errors that I did, and Jill looks at me today and she says, it's a wonder our kids are still alive based on some things that you've done. And so we're going to share a story, and I'm going to get right into it real quick. It's a story about a dad, and it's really a story of a pretty major dad in the Old Testament. You've heard of the patriarchs of the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were referred to all the time in the scriptures to the Jews. Remember your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to bless this nation through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was the original old man who God said, I'm going to bless you and make you a great nation. And then he had a son, Isaac, who he nearly got sacrificed, but he said, no. He said, you have great faith. And he says, I will bless you through Isaac. And then Isaac has a son named Jacob. Jacob has a brother named Esau. And they're twins, which I thought was kind of an appropriate story for the day too. But see, dads, we get a lot of pressure on us, and I mean, it's tough. You know, after the time in which I hung Hayden upside down, there were many other instances. The other thing that I mastered too as being a young dad was the art of faking asleep when the babies would start crying on the other room. I became very good at not making one single move to where Jill thought either I was dead or I was faking asleep, which she normally thought. And so I learned those things, but those are just things. They don't teach you that in a book. Those are just things you learn. But then as you get a little bit older, dads get more pressure upon us because now we're being told, you've got to be a good provider for your family. You know, you've got to be a good, godly church man, and you've got to lead Bible studies, and you've got to have devotionals with your kids every single night. You've got to pray every night with your wife. And then I want you to be a stalwart of the community. You've got to be a leader in the community. And you know what? You're going to coach the team, and you're going to be a great businessman, and you're going to be this, and you're going to be that. And oh, by the way, you need to take some time for yourself and exercise because you die at a young age because you're men with a lot of stress. And we have all this weight upon our shoulders, and rarely can we do all those things well. In fact, there was times I'd look at the time in which all of those things were going to take, and I didn't have enough time to do that. And so what I found myself doing, and I don't know if any of you can identify this, and this really isn't a message just for dads, this is a message for all of us, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a non-Christian, whether you've been in this place for 3 years or you've never, this is the first time you set foot in here, we all have expectations that are placed on us, and sometimes they're unrealistic. And what happens when they become unrealistic, sometimes we begin to throw in the towel little by little by little, and we begin to drift away from that which we were anchored to. In my case, it took me 40 years of this parenting thing to kind of, well, kids are 20, so 40 would be actually about 20 years of this parenting thing, but I'm going to throw in a little bit more in that because there was a time in which before God was real in my life and then after God became real in my life. But as you begin to feel the weight of the world and the weight of pressure upon you and these expectations that especially us dads have on our shoulders, we begin to throw in the towel little by little. And instead of faking a sleep so that I didn't have to help with the kids in the middle of the night, I would start going out a little bit later at night on a client call to where I could just stay out past bedtime to where I wouldn't have to come home and help. There were lots of instances where I began to slowly drift away and my character began to get far away from God. And there was moments and times in my life where I began to think, I have drifted so far from God, there's no way that he can use me. There is nothing that I can do now that's going to put me back in this right position as a father. And there were times in which I did some things that were just absolutely atrocious that would have never classified me for Father of the Year, certainly Husband of the Year, but not Father of the Year. And so we're going to look at a story about Jacob. And now Jacob was born as a twin with Esau. There's a great story of the struggle that they have there being born. But we're going to hear about this Jacob who was a master deceiver, who would ultimately become the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, that this blessing that we talked about with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would flow through Jacob. But Jacob had a past. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a liar. Jacob was a con artist. Jacob was this guy that you really didn't want to be around. Jacob was this guy who ends up running for his life because his brother is ready to kill him. And then we hear this crazy story of where Jacob tricks his old father, Isaac, who is nearly blind, cannot see him, into deceiving him out of a birthright, a blessing, just by manufacturing this time with his mother to where they get together and they put hair all over him because Esau was the hairy brother and Jacob was the smooth-skinned brother. And we hear this crazy story about how he tricks his father, and then he ends up running for his life. So I don't know if any of you can identify with, maybe there's some things in your life that you're not proud of, maybe that still haunt you, maybe some things that are so despicable that you can't even begin to think, is there any way that God could use me? And the story we're going to talk about is really a turning point in Jacob's life. And so let's pick that up right now, and we're going to read in the book of Genesis. And there is no way I've got enough time to cover the entire story of Jacob for you, but I just want to key on one particular area that we're going to talk about today, and it's found in Genesis chapter 32. And we're going to pick up in verse 22, and if you've got your Bibles, you can open up, or I also have it on the screen in front of me here. But let me go ahead and read for us, and I'm going to point out a couple highlights, and we're really only going to talk about two main points today. So it says, the same night he arose and took his two wives and two female servants and his 11 children and crossed the ford of Jabbok. You see, what's happened right there is Esau is after Jacob. he is ready to take him for all he's worth and kill him. But Jacob is so prideful and so key on keeping everything that he's accumulated that he's divided up his fortune and he's separated out and he sent one family over here and one family over here with his livestock, and now he's left alone here on the other side of this river. So he says he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he'd had. And Jacob was left alone. I'm completely convinced at this point in time, Jacob is wore out. Jacob has spent a lifetime deceiving, a lifetime being a con artist, a lifetime being a liar, a lifetime running for his life, and he is tired. And while he's tired, he falls into a deep sleep. And while he's sleeping, it says, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, there's various descriptions of who that man was. There's some interpretations that say that it was God himself was wrestling with Jacob. There's some say that it was an angelic creature, but in either case, it was of God, and it was certainly powerful. And so he is wrestling with him until the breaking of day. It says, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. In some of your versions, it literally says he struck his hip socket, because I don't think Jacob was ready to give up yet, and he was holding on with all his might as he was wrestling with God as far as, who am I going to serve? Is it going to be me, or is it going to be you? And so finally, his hip is rendered disabled. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. This is the story of a man who has this major turning point in his life, to where he's got a past that he doesn't think there's anything that can be made good out of it. And then he has this wrestling match with God. You know, a couple points for me. My dad left when I was 12, never had anybody really to point to. The Lord was faithful to place some guys in my life that I could see and look up to and strive to be, but I didn't have that guy when I was 13 years old struggling with, you know, what are women all about? I didn't have that guy as I started to play baseball in high school and college. No one to play catch with. No one to be in the stands to watch me play. The pain that I felt during that time was just utterly immense. And it wasn't until later that my dad would come back in my life, and when I could see him standing there watching me play as a 20-year-old man, how much it meant to me. I went through this pain of like having a disabled hip for years that I know God was wrestling with me. Because up until that point in time, I was not willing to give up the life that I had lived and the life that I was going to live. And I wish I could tell you everything got better at that moment and everything was reunited, but my dad left again. And then I get married. And then I try to be the dad. I try to be the guy. I try to be the guy that manages all the plates, the work plate, the husband plate, the dad plate, the coach plate. All of these plates I was trying to spin, and they would begin to wobble. And all I would do is go back to the plate that I knew I could keep spinning, which was my job. I knew I could do that really well. And I lost bits and pieces of my family from time to time. And it was this wrestling match that I know the Lord was wrestling with me to grab a hold of that hip and say, hey, listen, I know you've done some things in your past that you think can't be forgiven, but I can forgive you. And I can move past that with you. I can't tell you what it's like to be in my office when I can explain that hope of what it means to be forgiven with people that come into my office with things that just seem so atrocious that they can't seek forgiveness on. And then when they hear this message that God can take a messed up guy like Jacob, a messed up guy like me and turn you towards him. To see that hope that comes over their face is unbelievable. I wish I could tell you that my dad, who had a lot of things he needed to get off his chest, a lot of things that he needed forgiveness for, I wish he could have seen that same light. When I became a believer, I wanted to share that with him because we had lost so much of our lives together. And so I said, "Dad, come to church with me. I want you to hear what I've heard." And he goes, "I can't go in there." He said, "There'd be a bolt of lightning hit me if I go in there." And I said, "Dad, trust me. If God was in the business of shooting bolts of lightning down for people who are sinners, we'd all be fried." But he never did. He never went to church with me. Never got to hear the good news of forgiveness. And he took that to his grave. So Father's Day has a tough spot for me. But God wasn't done with me yet. He moves me to the desert. And he says, "Rick, you've been spinning all these plates for so long. I need you. I need you on my team." And so I began wrestling with him in the desert, literally wrestling with him in the desert, wondering what it is that God had designed for me, because he had sent me to this desert. And there were some things in my past that I wasn't proud of. There were some things in my life that I just tried to keep spinning, but it just couldn't keep it together. And I began wrestling, say, "God, what is it that you want from me?" And he wrestled with me to the point of utter brokenness. And at that point in time, I said, "God, I'm yours." At that point in time, I let go of that wrestling match. Kind of like Jacob did at that moment in time, the God that had blessed Abraham, the God that had blessed Isaac, had become Jacob's God. It was at that moment that I said, "That God that I've talked about, that God that I've claimed as my own, is now mine." Jacob was so concerned about getting the blessing from his father that it wasn't until he realized through this wrestling match that the only blessing that was worth anything was the blessing from God. So that blessing became his, and it was only from God. And so that's what was happening at the last minute. He says, "I've got to receive your blessing." And that's what lets him go. And what's funny is that he then names him Israel, which I think is just kind of ironic, because Jacob literally means the deceiver. And you would think he would give him a better name than Israel, but Israel literally means struggles with God. And I wish I could tell you that Jacob's story ended there and everything was just smooth sailing from there on out. But as you read and go back home and read the rest of that story, you're going to see that Jacob had a life that still continued to walk away from God. So just because you end up going through a circumstance doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. But the two things I want you to just take away with today: God's less concerned with where you've been than where you're going. Dads, I know there's a lofty mark that we're trying to hit. And culture has actually moved the mark so low that culture is telling us that, "Dads, you know, it's okay to be a womanizer. It's okay to be a guy who chases after wealth. It's okay to be all these things that have nothing to do with God." And we tend to try and taste those things, and they take us down these paths that maybe we're not proud of. And so God's less concerned with that when you turn and then go towards him. So just like Jacob, he can use you. And I humbly say, just like with me, he's able to use me. If someone would have told me, and I've said this a lot of times with you guys, if someone would have told me that I would be sitting here in front of you, standing here in front of you 20 years ago, I would have said, "You're absolutely crazy. There's no way God can use me." And yet that's exactly what he does. So don't think there's anything you can't be forgiven for. I've been thinking about in the days of Christ, in his last days, as the Jews, his chosen people, who Jacob is now the father of, those kids are yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And Peter reminds him after he's dead, he says, "You guys were the ones who hung him on the tree. You guys were the ones who crucified him. You guys were the ones who killed him. Christ sent his son so that they could be forgiven. So there's nothing, you weren't physically there yelling crucify him, but God can use you no matter what you've done for him. And the second thing I want you to be encouraged with today is God will use pain and he will use circumstances in your life. I promise you that. And I'd almost, at the time, try and encourage you to say, look forward to it. There has been some pain in my life that was unbearable, that I can't now, looking back, thank the Lord enough for. Because all of that pain and those circumstances led me to this point today. And it wouldn't have. It would never have happened if God hadn't gotten my attention. So here's my encouragement for you. Some of you are going through that pain, and some of you are experiencing those types of circumstances in your life. You're wrestling with God right now, and he is ready to dislocate your hip. And you know what? That's okay. Because he has a greater plan for you than you have for yourself. And my encouragement to you is persevere. My encouragement for you is to stay in the fight. Continue hanging on to that wrestling match until you know the Lord has blessed you. I was asked to help with a funeral. And they wanted me to play guitar for that funeral, and I had no idea who the funeral was for. And so I went, and we were all warming up, playing music in the background, and I remember leaning over to my bandmate saying, you know, who's this guy? And nobody knew who it was. And so I had to play at the end of the funeral, so I stuck around. I didn't just leave. And so I sat down and heard the message. But more importantly, I heard the eulogies. And eulogy is a Greek word. It comes from eulogia, which means to speak well of somebody. And I heard person after person after person speak well of this man, Bill. Bill, just so you know, was in a wheelchair. Bill was 65 years old when he died. When he was 15, he broke his neck in a water skiing accident. For 50 years, he was in a wheelchair. For 50 years, he experienced pain and suffering that I can only imagine. Could only move his head. And I heard story after story after story of how this guy was influencing others, how he was changing people's lives with the help of the Lord, how he was such a godly man, a godly influence, and all he could do was move his head. This was at the beginning of my wrestling match here when we moved to Arizona. And I remember going to Joe Bubar, who had led the worship for that funeral. And I said, Joe, I am scared to death. I said, I pray that the Lord does not have to break my neck in order to use me like he's used Bill. And you know what Joe whispered in my ear? If he does, it's okay. And so I want you to know, if the Lord has to literally or figuratively break your neck to use you, it's okay. If you have to experience pain and suffering, know that there's a reason for it and to persevere. Because here is a man now that we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we still talk about today. Here was a man who had ventured so far from God, but he was able to be used. Here's a guy who had a constant reminder. And some of us have these constant reminders that we carry around with us today to remind us of God's faithfulness in our life. So my hope and my encouragement for you, dads, is you've got a lot on your shoulders. You carry along a lot of responsibility. And you dads that are here today hearing that message, good job. My hope is if some of you have had some great, great father figures in your life, be thankful for that and thank them if you can. And for those of you who maybe haven't had the greatest examples in your life, know that God can still use you. We have a couple men's groups here as part of our church where we literally just sharpen each other. We literally just walk through life with each other. We literally point each other back to Christ. We remind each other of our greater purpose as men. And I would encourage you to join one of those groups. They meet on Thursday nights or Friday mornings. And I'm trying not to pile another thing on your to-do list, guys. But if there's one thing that you could add to your plate, and maybe there's something you could take off your plate, I would encourage you to get in with these other men and begin that journey together of reminding yourself why it is that God created you as a man. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this important message. Just a reminder that no matter where we are today, you can use us. No matter what baggage we bring into this room today, Lord, you can use us. You are less concerned about where we've been than where we're going. And Lord, we are grateful for those circumstances in our life, for those sore hips in our life that remind us it's you who gives us the strength. Lord, I pray that this message is one that's enlifting to our gentlemen, that's encouraging to the ladies. And Lord, I pray that this would be a place in which men can come and grow deeper in their knowledge of you, can lay those things at the altar that maybe they feel they have never been able to lay before someone, and can begin anew walking in you. Lord, I thank you for those wrestling matches in my life. I thank you for the circumstances of pain that you've placed in my life that have driven me to this place today. Lord, I thank you for your truth that is as real today as it was thousands of years ago when it was written. And Lord, we give you all the glory because you are our Father, our Heavenly Father, who never changes, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us, who loves us so much. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.